That's right. That's Ronan. Jose James with a wonderful interpretation of Art Blakey's song or tune by the same name that he and the Jazz Messengers put out in 1959. So as you can see, when you do a job really well, it lasts. That's the continual lesson that we get here all the time. A lot of the music I play is from the 50s and 40s, and it is still spectacular. This is Lead Stories. I'm your Therese Lead, and today we take our cue from the song, Moanin'. And what is moanin' having to do with anything at all? Well, it has to do with what we might be feeling about the odd couple in the White House. And by the odd couple, I'm referring to Joe Biden, the president, and Kamala Harris, the vice president. Do you get the feeling that they are on the same page, that they're communicating, that they're planning things together, and that their folks, the people who advise them, are clear that a transformation has to occur, and in a particular fashion. And so they develop the skills of easing the nation, perhaps even imperceptibly, into these changes, but you don't get the feeling that Biden and Harris are a team. It's like they just met, just last week and trying to still feel each other out and can't quite figure out what they are supposed to do together. And we see some pretty disastrous results in terms of decisions that have been made, and we're in the middle of one. What is this thing that we're supposed to understand as a nation, that we're supposed to move in a particular way, because we are confronting yet another crisis? And all we get is, a brief press release or a brief press conference, news conference, and Biden is there making pronouncements as to what will happen, what he wants to have happen in the next X number of days. And it's the voice of Zeus from Mount Vesuvius talking to the people. And more, I'm paying attention to the fact that he seems disconnected. He does not seem to be in the moment. I know. Why am I making more trouble now? Well, this is the President of the United States. And there are serious issues at hand. And we can't afford to pretend anymore. We've pretended with a lot of presidents and given them wide berth to basically do the people in or to run the country like a country store. It has got to stop. So we need an accounting here. Is Joe Biden well or not? That's a question we should ask and get a precise answer to that is truthful. Is he losing some of his mental faculties? Who is running the country at this moment? And do we settle for the fact that we see him in this nice suit and everything, standing at a podium for about 5 minutes, and that's it. And we are to accept this as presidential administration. This is not right. Kamala Harris, on the other hand, is treated like a stepchild from the old fairy tale days. She doesn't even seem to know whether she belongs there. And what exactly is she supposed to be doing? Who determines that? And she has all of the trademarks, if you will, of a depressed person who came to office all bright and bushy-tailed and ready to go. And she has been quieted. She has been shut up. She has been contained already. I don't know what's going on in that White House, but I do know it's highly irregular and nothing good could come out of it. So we need to start asking these questions. Is Joe Biden working with all pistons firing? Or is he having the experience of psychological hiccups? Sometimes, to be very frank, he talks and he seems not to be in this world with the rest of us. He's in his own world and seeing things his own way and talking about things, and we wonder, what is this man talking about? And is this an issue that we should tolerate and put up with? And nobody raises the question as to whether Joe Biden's mental and psychological acuity is not in question, that we're sure that he is rowing with both oars. I don't think so. And this is not a job for, you know, the experience of it, or that you have struggled all your life politically to get where you're going, and you deserve that position because, well, you were heavily invested in it and you fought for it, and so you have it. The question is, are you qualified? Are you 100%, you know, with, my father used to tell us when we're driving, the first rule, 10 to 2, 10 to 2. That's how you're supposed to hold the steering wheel, 10 to 2. You have a full grasp of the steering wheel. I don't feel that our president is driving with the 10 to 2 formula. So this is the topic for today. Are we sure that nothing is wrong with Joe Biden? Are we comfortable with this so-called partnership in leadership between Kamala Harris and Joe Biden? Where are they taking us? What's in their heads? And will they achieve what the people want them to achieve? Or will they have a different agenda that is uniquely theirs, and we just have to go along for the ride? We don't see enough people surrounding them from whom they can draw, you know, legislative advice and tactics and so forth. We're not getting a sense that this is a team, an experienced, knowledgeable team. And there are quite a few things that need to be done that they don't know how to do, but we can trust that they will do it. because they will get the expertise that they need to get things done. I just can't stand this anymore. It's like two people who are married but refuse to have a conversation with each other every day. So that's my question to you. Are you comfortable with the vibes coming out of the White House? Are you comfortable that the nation is in the hands of two people who are, you know, they're resonating kind of shakily with us? There's no certainty about them. We don't know what Biden is about to do next. We don't know what Harris is there for. What is she supposed to be doing? And why is she being treated as an afterthought? All right. So I have lit the fire. Let's see what you think. At 888-874-4888. And I'm not begging for people to hurry up and get to the phones and call. If I don't see much action on the phones, we just shut it down and move on to something else. But the idea is to give you an opportunity to express a view and to have people appreciate where you're coming from. Maybe there's something invaluable that you have to offer. But we're not going to wait all day for it. I am not. So the number, I'm going to recite it again, 888-874-4888. That's the number to call to express your point of view. And then we move. We're moving. I'm not sitting and waiting until people feel comfortable. Ed from Queens, you start us off today.
Yeah, good afternoon, Eutrice. How are you?
Good afternoon, Ed.
Yeah. Here hanging with the phones. that's another story entirely. I was speaking with your screener, but that's another story for another time. To be totally honest with you, I don't know why you're so surprised. I believe you said it from the beginning. I've said it. Other callers have said it. Biden is a tool of empire. He's never been a reputable politician. He's plagiaristic. He's an out-and-out liar. He has weird idiosyncrasies such as smelling people's hair and feeling people up. He's part of the dying of America, what I like to call. Him and Kamala Harris were never political allies. In the beginning of the primary, they were at each other's throats, throwing around derogatory statements against one another. She calls him out on his stance for busing. And they never made a meeting of the minds. They never had a parlay to represent the party. So, I mean, and to be totally honest with you, I'm not a medical person. I'm not a doctor. But I believe Biden suffers from Alzheimer's. He's an old man in a stressful job in a dying empire. And this is what we got. We have no leaders of political import. We have no great men. We have no statesmen. We just have a bunch of money-grubbing clowns who are dedicated to maintaining status quo for the ruling elite. And that's what we got. I mean, we're in the middle of a pandemic. Record-breaking hospital admittances. Record-breaking deaths, and not one of these two quote-unquote political leaders representing people have called for free health care. That in itself states the dilemma. They do not care about the populace. This government does not care about the populace. And to be totally honest with you, I believe we're in the decline. Like the Roman Empire, like the Phoenicians, like the Egyptians, we're in the beginning of the end. And this is all we can get out of our quote-unquote elected officials or human representatives. It's an insult.
Is there a possibility that you and I are misreading this whole thing, that they have it under control, they just have a particular tactic that they're using in how they broach these subjects and deal with them?
You know what their tactic is? Like when I was in the Army, what they used to say, throw everything against the wall and see what sticks. That's all it is. Throw it up against the wall, see if it sticks. If it sticks, we'll work with it. They change policies. They change views. They change. They even change CDC cutoff times. They change. And once again, I stated, not only them, this whole government. How can you be in the midst of a monumental health crisis and not call for free health care for everyone? You know, I mean, we can spend billions, trillions of dollars on the Defense Department, billions, trillions of dollars on cutbacks for corporations and tax abatements and all this. We can spend billions, trillions of dollars to save the banks. But come on, man. I mean, it's ridiculous.
So then, what is the point of this coupling? What is the strategy here in getting two of them to be at the top of the Democratic Party's leadership?
The strategy was to beat Trump. That's what the strategy was, because Trump scared the heck out of them. And the strategy was, by all means, find a combination to beat Trump. Kamala, black girl magic, it sounded good, it fit, worked together. Biden riding on the coattails of Obama, it fit together. It was the lesser of the two evils that they had to package to sell to the people. And don't vote for these people because you don't want Trump. And I got a news flash for them. Trump will be back. And if this continues, we're going to have another Trump. 74 million Americans voted for this man.
Thanks for getting us started today. And on the tone that you're taking, let's see what other people are thinking as well. Thank you, Ed, for calling in today. 888-874-4888. What is happening in the White House? Is this the leadership that we expected? Or did we expect a tighter control of things? That these people had studied the landscape and knew intuitively what needed to be done, and they're constantly talking to each other. Of course, they'll say, we talk to each other all the time. It doesn't look like it, okay? It doesn't look like it. And it doesn't even feel these days that they're even friendly toward each other. Somebody else is interceding and taking over that function. I'm not comfortable with it. And we need to start questioning this, because this is terrible. A year has passed, essentially, and we are no clearer about what this team is about. Jeremiah from Harlem, you're on the air. Hello, Jeremiah.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. Great to talk with you today. I want to make reference to my favorite political philosophy of all time, which is a book. I'm not sure if any of your listeners or if you were familiar with a book called Society of the Spectacle, written by the French author, the French philosopher Guy Debord. And it's just a brilliant book in my estimation. And he basically says that we live under the reigning spectacle, that we live in what he calls spectacular society, that the spectacle is the self-portrait of power, that the spectacle is the uninterrupted conversation between power and its spectators. And before his death, he'd written a follow-up book called Further Comments on the Society of the Spectacle, where he basically lamented that everything that he had said in the original book was true, but worse than he had realized. And now we had entered the phase of what he called the integration of the spectacle. And the spectacle, it's not merely an accumulation of images. It's a social relationship mediated by images. It's how we carry our discussions every day where we walk into the office place, let's say, and the guy says to his coworker, hey, did you see the football game? Well, that was provided to you by the spectacle. Maybe the answer would be, oh, no, I saw the presidential debate last night. And these are the things that we're supposed to reference and discuss. And then if I shift to one of my other political teachers, who I'm kind of disappointed with the direction that he's turned over the past couple of years, he might also, unfortunately, be suffering from dementia like Joe Biden, the great Noam Chomsky. You know, he underscores how there was an early presidential convention. I don't remember the year, the exact date, but I remember there was one of the early, if not the first presidential convention, where Thomas Jefferson argued that the people, although not the wisest brokers of power, were the most honest brokers of power, and therefore voting and the will of the people was a good sort of leveling off mechanism to contain the interests of the corrupt and the powerful. But as Chomsky describes, Jefferson basically lost that preliminary debate. And I'm no fan of Thomas Jefferson. I mean, I think it's kind of crazy and shows how demented American history is that the so-called father of American liberalism, or however you classify Jefferson politically and historically, he was a serial rapist, basically. So I think those are things that we should
Bill Clinton.
Over. Excuse, so is Bill Clinton?
Like Bill Clinton and like Donald Trump.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's move.
Many of these other
individuals. Okay, you gave us the overview. What is, in your view, the state of affairs with the highest ranking decision makers in the United States today? We're talking about Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. What's going on there?
I think it's just a very roughly stage-managed operation. I think that politics at that level is executed in the highest level of cynicism, unfortunately. And I think they are an odd couple, for sure. They're an odd couple to begin with. And, you know, I don't know who they answer to or who kind of organizes these stage-managed events, but it was quite clear, like Ed said previously, that Biden was suffering from some sort of mental lapse. I mean, it'd been seen over and over again, his stumbling and bumbling. I mean, this isn't something that just started happening last week. I mean, this was happening in his entire campaign, on the campaign trail. So, you know, I think that you actually asked a question previously about should we have a mental competence test. And I think we should actually just have an age limit. I think we should have an age limit for politics. I think if you're 70 and you haven't made your political mark, well, too bad. You have till you're 70 or whatever the cutoff point would be, maybe 65. It's a simple fact of life, just like we don't have the same muscle mass at a later advanced stage in our lives as we do when we're younger. Your mental acuity also declines. As you know, I'm a chess teacher, remotelearningchess.org, and you know, the fact of the matter is there's no 50-year-old in the top 10 of chess players in the world. Maybe there's one 40-year-old in there right now. There's a couple of 40-year-olds in the top 50, or there's a handful of 40-year-olds and a couple of 50-year-olds. There's no 60-year-old in the top 50 chess players in the world. It's a young man's game. All the top 10 players are in their 20s or their 30s, and the number two player in the world is 16 years old. The brain is actually an organ that unfortunately goes from being a grape to a raisin over a period of time. And we just shouldn't be led by these old men. You know, in Joe Biden's case, actually suffering incontinence and representing us on the world stage, and has the nerve to make medical demands of the entire public without any diagnosis of an individual, which is why the CDC should be disbanded, because they're making a medical prescription for the vast public without asking for a blood test or anyone's medical history or searching for the anomalous people who would have particularly severe reactions. They're just, you know, all of a sudden the Democratic Party is a medical party. They never had enough money or resources or wherewithal to do all the things that they promised to do. Obama never closed Guantanamo. Bill de Blasio never ended solitary confinement. But when it came to all this medical mandate business, oh, then they were really focused in a way that I don't think we've ever seen before. I don't recall them being quite so focused in this way that's resulted with, just here in New York State, 72,000 healthcare workers losing their jobs, half of the fire department being fired. And, you know, so I guess if someone dies in a fire, it's not as big a deal as if someone dies of COVID. But, yeah, I'm completely...
Do you get the sense that I'm possibly exaggerating things? Am I being an alarmist?
No, I think the opposite, unfortunately. I think you're under-exaggerating things, perhaps. I think we need to jettison the Democrats. I think our lesser of two evils game that we've played for generations now, it's really caught up with us. And it's like a relationship that needs to end, or one of those situations in life where you've been used to doing things for a while and you have to move. You have to change your existence now. You have to change your way of life, basically, because we tried lesser of two evil, and it's really gotten us in a terrible situation, in my opinion. So, you know, whether that's community groups, voting third party, but we cannot give our vote to these demons anymore, because, I mean, it's literally self-annihilation at this point.
Wow, thank you. So, you don't think, not even a little bit, that I'm off the rails on this question?
I just think they're beyond the point of redemption, basically. I think it's just such a bizarre spectacle that we've been offered that we really need to just dig deeper and realize that this is just not where it's at. You know, these are not leaders of the people in any appreciable sense. These people are not particularly concerned about our youth. They're not concerned about our environment. They're not concerned about our health. They're concerned about power and money and other strange things that I'm trying to figure out. But these aren't good leaders, and we shouldn't pretend that they are. It's kind of like, you know, you have that lovely niece or cousin who brings a real gnarly guy to the Thanksgiving dinner table. And it's like you're trying to be nice to the guy, but everyone's kind of like, who is this guy? And it's like, yeah, not a good boyfriend. And in this case, not good leaders. Got to dump them. Let's not pretend.
Open the door.
Get into all kinds of trouble.
Kick him out. All right. Well, thank you very much, Jeremiah.
Thank you, Eutrice. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks. 888-874-4888. And in the meantime, we'll have a little bit more of the reminder of the genius of the singer, which is an old tradition in jazz, actually, Jose James. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM, and we're talking about this feeling that has enveloped us as we observe. You know, we scan the horizon to see what signs we can read. And the signs that we're reading are not very encouraging. And we're looking for some kind of cohesion. That's the point of having a vice president and a president, that they supposedly talk to each other and they on the same page about a lot of things. But we don't get that. We don't get that. Brother David, how do you see it?
I see it a little differently. First of all, as far as I know, the Constitution doesn't give any suggestion that this should be the case. The vice president, as far as I know, presides sometimes in the Congress where that person has to do certain things. But the point is, I don't think there's any rule that says that that person has to do anything unless the president dies or is incapacitated and could really go home in the residence that the vice president has and just sit there and you really do nothing. It's not like the president is the vice president's supervisor. The president usually selects the person who runs as vice president. But the point is that it's not a must that that person has to do anything. The way I look at the presidency is the fact that I feel that the president, regardless of whether it's Biden or Trump or Obama or Clinton or the rest of these guys or presidents, they don't really work for the benefit of masses. The president is the executive officer for the empire. This is an empire, and that comes first. And the second part of it is managing the people. So that's a two-part job where that president runs the empire all over the world, interfering with all these countries to steal their resources, human and natural, and controls the people, keep them in check, do as much as good as possible to keep them calm so there's no overthrow. And we have no parties for the people. As you know, I keep emphasizing, a Democrat and Republican, they don't represent the interests of the masses. They represent the ruling class. And the fact is, how do you expect them to do what is good overall for the masses of people that live in this society? So we have a terrible thing. We do need parties. It would be wonderful to have parties that represent the people, but I don't see any viable ones on the horizon right now. So as far as the vice president is concerned, that's the way I look at it. Biden is the president. He makes all the decisions, and the vice president is on standby, period. And it would be nice, if I were president, I'd like to have a cooperative relationship with the vice. But if he doesn't want that, that's his right. He doesn't have to do anything in terms of bringing her in to all the mechanisms of government while he is president and she is just vice president.
Well, we still do have a problem. The president has given several clues, very troubling clues, that he's not necessarily in the same space at the same time that we are. There are many questions and concerns about his mental acuity, which means a smart tactic would be to present a team at the highest levels, that's the president and the vice president. But here too we have a problem. The vice president does not come across as a person comfortable with power, as a person who is a leader. She is probably not being allowed to be. She is not, she's being undercut, or she's just cast to the side. But either way, they don't come across as a team. And that's why you have a president and a vice president. We don't get the sense that they're on the same page.
Well, that may be so, but in the case where a significant number of people believe that somehow President Biden is has some medical difficulties or mental difficulties, the Congress could deal with that, and that may work. So that's the way I see it. So that may be so that he has these difficulties, that could be dealt with by somehow Congress stepping in to get him out of office, and that is one way of dealing with that. I don't know anything we can do to get him and Vice President Harris together or whatnot, but the problem is we're dealing with a crooked empire that's all over the world, and we have to deal with that, whether it's Harris or Biden in office.
Okay. Well, thank you. I just think, although it is not a stated crisis, it is a crisis in leadership.
Yes.
And it couldn't have happened at the worst time. And frankly, I don't think the people who voted them in deserve it. And I think there needs to be a major effort to, you know, get things on the right track. They're off. People have been saying it, and it is evident. But to do nothing, it seems to me, is just putting a nice thick layer of contempt on top of everything else that people are feeling as being, you know, outside of the sphere of influence of these two leaders. And that is not what the country needs at this time.
Absolutely not, yes.
All right, well, thank you so much. Thank you for calling. 888-874-4888. Time, tempus is fugiting. Time is fleeting. So you have something to say, pick up your phone and make your point. Because before you know it, we're at the end of the program. What is your feeling about the Democratic leadership that we have now? Biden and Harris, between them, do you feel that the party and the future of the country might be in very good hands? Or do you believe that something else is going on here and it better be tackled soon? If it's not, then everything is lost. And we can ill afford to pretend that, this is politics and people have their own peculiarities, but essentially they see each other's point of view and agree. I don't know about that. Dave from California, what do you say?
Oh, hey. Hope you had a good holiday. I hadn't been listening to the early part of the show because I hadn't been able to see the find the website anymore, so I'm kind of starting from scratch. But regarding the let's see, is it open topic or were you on a theme?
No, as we were talking about this matching of power between Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Is it working? Is it conveying to the public that things are in good hands? We need not worry. They talk to each other often. They see each other's point of view.
Yeah, well, I think that's probably
that
true.
We have some worries here because we're not sure that they're on the same page.
Well, I don't know if you went to a high school that had a high school rivalry with another football team, but there were usually, for the week ahead of time, and I'm thinking in terms of a campaign year, the other side would send in stringers to say, oh, I guess we're going to get beat bad by those people. And so I take it for granted that this so-called division between Kamala and Biden is simply that. You know, it's the Republicans and the Libertarians and the profiteers who are out there just trying to, oh, your team's going to lose, you might as well give up now. So I just take that for granted, and I don't really pay too much attention to it. The bigger picture is that why is the media basically giving such bad advice for all of these disasters that we're in? You know, global warming's not happening, so let's just get back to polluting. The COVID doesn't exist, so let's go to war with China for creating a germ warfare. You know, they don't even get their lies straight. And
but you're off to another subject. You're segueing off topic, and I get really antsy about that. Stay on the topic. What is the approach here, both by Biden and Harris? Is there something they need to do to undergird this thing that has escaped us, which is we don't feel that there is a communing, a regular communing, when they're on the same path. We just don't get that. Is that necessary?
Well, if you were to, I've worked in enough institutions that actually had teamwork. You know, that one section really didn't need to talk to the boss all that often because their team was working fine. So in the case of Kamala, if I remember, I'm trying to remember her projects that she's been working on. She wasn't like Jared Kushner that had Middle East peace and everything else and COVID. But as far as I can tell, she's doing just fine. And same with Biden, for the most part, is also doing fine. Although I think when it comes down to the various crises, I would think that if I was to give them some free advice, it would be to put together some PSAs to America, public service announcements, that would basically tell us in a solid way how we can advance our civilization without being caught up in the daily travails. And, you know, sort of like one-minute fireside chats. And they don't need to be political. You know, that could be an abuse of a PSA. But in terms of, say, for example, COVID or getting back to, you know, calming the kids down who have been out of school for a year and a half, 2 years, you know, different things that'll kind of a reassurance one-minute chats. And I think they would do a lot more good for the nation, because, and for the world for that matter, because when it comes to the sniping, when I listen to hate radio, they are eager to bring down this country. They're eager to sell America out to the big old corporate state, and they're not shy about it, actually. And so with these PSAs, I would recommend they just go to the foundations of America. United you stand, divided you fall. Taxation with representation. In unity there is strength. Various, just go through Thomas Paine's collection and do one-minute PSAs. And they, if I was to give, you know, some free advice to the two of them, it would be along those lines. The Republicans, it's funny, I got in an arguing match the other day with a right-wing station, and I said, Republicans don't even believe in Abraham Lincoln anymore, and he was their most famous president. And this guy, for 10 minutes, was ranting about how the Republicans do believe in Lincoln, although you couldn't prove it. You know, the Republicans are going with the Klan. The Republicans are going with the Nazis. The Republicans are going with a corporate state who don't want to pay taxes. And they're defying everything about America that was a unity. So it's, I think for free advice, it would be to just go through, you know, Thomas Paine's collection of famous sayings, and or Ben Franklin for that matter, and just do one-minute PSAs.
But all of that, would you think it would make a significant inroad into what people are feeling? And what they're feeling is that there is no unity there, or very little. And that, you know, they're beginning to worry. They see evidence of Biden becoming more and more distant, confused, and we see the vice president, Kamala Harris, basically operating on her own. At least this is what it looks like. This is not a good way to influence people to support you.
Well, I hope you're not watching Fox News.
It certainly wouldn't keep people calm.
Yeah, I mean, I actually haven't seen any example of that in normal news. But, you know, of course, Fox News is going to continue up that sniping pattern. But I frankly don't see it. And as a matter of fact, I remember when Bush Jr. was in, you know, people made a game out of taking his speeches and just chopping them up into all sorts of, you know, some of the most bizarre collection of rants. And it's pretty clear that the Republicans are editing any of these speeches by Biden. You know, they're making him sound disjointed. I think in the long, you know, in the big picture, you know how every new generation has their own catchphrases. And an older catchphrase, I guess, what is Biden in his 70s by now, the catchphrases that he found popular as a boy, some of them were outmoded by the 70s. So, you know, the idea that a generation 40 years after that has got to try to catch up with his jokes, you know, it's pretty clear that, you know, I'm enough of a history nut that I know those kinds of old catchphrases and jokes, and you can tell that he's trying to build up to a punchline for an old-fashioned joke, and then he realizes the audience isn't going to catch it, and so he looks disjointed. So
sometimes he just gets lost. He can't remember what the punchline is.
Well, maybe, but I seriously think don't pay attention to Fox News. You know, we've got to keep our eye.
No, I'm listening. I listen to his cadence. I listen to his speeches. He's struggling more and more for the words that he ought to say because he's forgotten them, and it is embarrassing, frankly, to have a head of state stand before the world and lose it. That does not inspire confidence at all.
Well, I remember Donald Trump doing exactly the same, except worse. I remember George Bush doing exactly the same, except 10 times worse. George Bush, my God, you know, Bush Jr., he was an outright moron. You know, the idea that he would sit in the classroom during 9/11 and basically stare at a wall for 17 minutes. Biden hasn't even begun to reach the threshold of George Bush Jr.'s incompetence. No, the Republicans. I don't. Have you ever run into an old book called Ecotopia? It was by Ernest Kallenbach.
No.
Ecotopia. Well, it was kind of a science fiction, the book that came out in the 1960s. It was about how America was carved up by the corporations. And, you know, the mining interests, the lumber interests, the various types of industry carved up America into about 11 territories. And then Northwest area in Northern California, Oregon, Washington became what was called Ecotopia, which was sort of an environmentalist's paradise. And the rest of the nation was out polluting and in company store kind of tyranny, and an Ecotopia set its own standards. Well, if you look at the problems of today, they're basically building toward the corporate state. where each of the corporations want to make their own. Do you remember what company store was and the company script?
Sure.
Where they didn't use American money in the company town, they used company script, and you were always in poverty because they would change the value of the company script. The American dollar was still strong, but the company script was always changing for the worse. And
well, that was a kind of rebellion, actually, against certain parties' rule, and the consolidation of power by those interested parties to consolidate their power. And this was the way they controlled it. It's like Trump repeating lies over and over again that the election was stolen. Come on now. Enough already. Thanks
a
lot
delusional.
For
sure.
Calling in today.
Oh, Happy New Year.
Thank you, Dave.
Yeah, we'll see you next
Thank
year.
You.
Take care.
In a couple of days. Mike from Florida, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Yatrice. Good afternoon to your listeners. Thanks
Good afternoon.
For taking the call. This thing about teamwork with Biden and Kamala Harris and the schisms, you know, I haven't heard anybody suggest what I'm going to say, but I'm going to go out on a limb. I think, Yatrice, that Jill Biden, behind the scenes, she knows that Joe is very inadequate. She's, you know, I don't think she wants to see Kamala Harris succeed him for nothing. And, you know, she really has not forgiven Kamala Harris for coming out and supporting Tara Reid when that major allegation came about. When they were, you know, running in the primaries, and she said, "I believe Tara Reid." You know, I don't think Joe Biden has swallowed that fully, and I think she may be behind the scenes doing some, you know, sort of, you know, manipulation or creating trouble to protect her husband and not allow Kamala to advance or to get too powerful. Because if you put them both side by side, I mean, Kamala Harris is much more articulate than Joe Biden is. That's just a fact. I mean, she's a lawyer. She's a prosecutor. I mean, Joe just, you know, he's not cutting it. So I think maybe, and I'm going out on a limb, that Jill Biden might be, you know, behind the scenes doing some things, Yatrice. What do you think?
I think you're cooking up a theory here, but you have no proof.
Okay.
You're making trouble. You're making trouble.
Okay, I just want to put it out there. If anybody has, you know, an angle to come with that or against it, then I'm all ears. But it's just my take on this whole.
Well, I think you have a point, but it doesn't relate so much to Kamala Harris as it does to Joe Biden. Jill Biden is fiercely protective of her husband, and it might be the case that she is, you know, running cover for him. But that has nothing to do with the question we're dealing with, which is Kamala Harris is the Vice President of the United States. That's her position.
Right.
And she is not coming across as a person comfortable with that. It's like she has to submit some kind of form to somebody to express a thought. I don't understand that, but it is doing damage. This is the main thing they need to understand. It's doing damage to the party in particular, certainly to themselves individually, but it is doing a great deal of damage because they look silly.
I hear you. I hear exactly what you're saying. I don't disagree with you at all. maybe there's a third force somewhere that we don't know about that's, you know, holding her reins. And, for whatever reason, I mean, it's just one of those crazy situations. But you're right, it doesn't look good. It's not good for the country.
It doesn't. Thank you so much for calling in today, Mike, and for contributing. And even though it's a little bit conspiratorial, I'm not saying that conspiracies are bad or that they don't exist. So just be clear about that. I'm not condemning you and your theories. Thank you so much. That brings us to the end of our program today. Thank you so much for contributing and for listening. And spread the word. We're on the move here. We're on the move. Trading in ideas, even conspiracy theories. What do people see as the underlying cause of an issue? Some people call it conspiracy theories. I'm saying, let me hear what you are thinking. So we'll hook up again tomorrow and do some more talking. Thanks so much for listening today. Bye-bye.